with you today, if you'd turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Book of Acts, chapter number 1. If you're able today, if you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Those of you that like to use the nursery, be some young ladies, take your children, 3 and under today. You can meet them in the foyer. Today I'd like to read 2 verses for the sake of time of your standing, found in Acts 1, verse number 10. Acts 1, verse number 10. I'm glad I've got a church I can go to today. Most of all, I'm glad we've got the Spirit of God that lives in us, and He said He would lead and guide you into all truth. If there's ever been a generation that needs truth, it's this generation this morning. And we need to learn to seek truth, to learn about God, the things of the Bible, not just because Papa said it, but you read it and find it out yourself of what it says. Oh, we need to be seeking the truth, and we need to be standing on the truth. I believe with all my heart, God honors standing on the Word of God. It does not matter your decisions nor my decisions. It's not your input nor my input. Not your opinion nor my opinion. It's what thus saith the Word of God. Acts chapter number 1, now 2 verses today. Verse number 10, the Bible said, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for the goodness of God. Lord, how good You've been to us. We thank You for that this morning. I pray for the stirring of the Spirit of God. And I pray now, Lord, You'd lead and direct me in the furtherance of this service. I need Your help today. And I pray that the Word of God would go out and do that which You sent it to do. Help us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. First of all, this passage tells us that Jesus came here. I'm glad it's not a fairy tale. I'm glad Jesus came here. He was born of a virgin woman, very important. She had never known man. But she found herself, the Bible said, great with child. Oh, what a greatness the day that the Spirit of God implanted the Son of God in the womb of Mary. Oh, what a great day that God thought enough of us that He would send His Son to be born of a virgin woman in a little lonely place, one that was in a high place, yet He come to a low place. And He hung and died for you and I. And then on the third day, we celebrated that some 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm glad He got up out of the grave. Muhammad or Buddha, we can't sing songs to them about it this morning because they're still in the grave, but there's one got out of the grave. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, "Brother Ken, how do you know all of that's real? Because it's going on in my heart and in my life. And I know that Jesus saves and I know that Jesus lives. And thank God I know this, Jesus forgives." And so He came amongst us and dwelt in a tabernacle of flesh, the God-man. He went on an old Roman cross, and there the devil thought that he had Him. Jesus, He simply said these words, "It's finished." Not He's finished, but it's finished. What? The price that was paid for you. The way that was made for you. And so he appears now to his disciples. The Bible said that they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he was caught up out of the way. The angel said to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" I don't even know if the church is in that direction this morning. You know, at least they was looking toward him. I wonder who you're looking toward today. I preached last Sunday that it seems that the church is in a haze. This world, they're just hazed over, running around with no purpose, no passion. But we that are saved by the grace of God, I'm glad we got somebody we can look unto this morning. Oh, I'm glad I can look to where he's at today. You say, "Well, man of God, where is he?" Well, first of all, he's in my heart. But secondly, he's still in heaven on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I. I'm glad we got a God that was caught up in the glory, and now he is with his Father. So that early church, they were gazing. They were simply looking, they were carried away as he was lifted and caught up into the clouds of heaven. These angels spake and they said, I want to ask this question. Ye men of Galilee, here's our Bible question today. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I will preach on this simple subject a few moments today on simply from a gaze to a blaze. From a gaze to a blaze. This is the starting out of our early church fathers. Jesus had acquainted himself with those special 12 disciples or those 12 apostles. There was 120 now that has been gathered together and they've been saved by the grace of God. Jesus has been called away and he gives them instructions. Why are you gazing up into heaven? You need to be about the Father's business. I want to say there is some things that are happening in your life and my life that have us gaze up into heaven. I've asked this from time to time. Lord, why? I've heard real spiritual morons say this. Oh, don't you never ask Jesus why. Well, honey, let me tell you, the Son of God Himself asked God why. He said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" But aren't you glad we're not forsaken this morning? Matter of fact, God's done something for me and you that He did not do for His Son. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He did leave His Son for a moment on that cross. He had to turn His back. He turned the lights out on Him. You know why? Because your sin and my sin was on the Son of God. Jesus cried, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, there had to be a price that was paid. There had to be a penalty that was seen about. I heard of a man this week, he was talking about, he was doing a revival. Lady come to the revival and asked him, said, "Would you go home and see my husband?" Said, "He's a very mean and wicked man. He won't come to church with me. And I wish you'd go and visit our home this week." So the visiting preacher got with the pastor and they went and seen the man. He said, "You know," he said, I didn't even get to talk about God." Said he wasn't interested in the things of God. So we just sort of made our acquaintance and politely left. They come back to church on that night. And so the little lady walked back in and she said, "Sir," said, "listen, my husband come to me tonight before church. He said, would you come and pay him one more visit this week?" So the man of God got up and he went back with the pastor. He walked in. So this man that had met previously, he told him, he said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something. I'm a better man than all them people that you're preaching to this week." He said, "I live better than most of them in that church. Matter of fact, I'm a good person. And I just don't see the reason why I need to be saved." And so I love what the old man of God said, Brother Mike. He said, "Sir, I've not been around these people very long, and you're probably better than a lot of them people there. But there's one issue. God has you charged of killing His Son, and you better be seeing God that He'd drop them charges on you. Can I tell you this morning, friend, there's a payday coming someday, and you better be saved by the grace of God. God, because He sent His Son to die for us all this morning. I'm glad God, Brother Josh, dropped the charges on me. So this morning, this early church, from a gaze to a blaze, there's one particular part of this scripture I want to get to, and I'll be done preaching this morning. But first of all, you'll notice this early church, they had a witness that was beginning. A witness that was beginning. Now watch your Bible. In verse number 4, you'll see the people were assembled. And they being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye've heard of me. And being assembled together. Now here this witness that was in the beginning, you'll notice the people were assembled. If there's ever been an hour where the people of God need to come together and assemble, the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But the more as you see the day approaching. Have you watched the news lately? We're in the last days, friend. Jesus is soon to come. And so God has put a church together that you may get what you need out of the Word of God. You may experience the people of God. You know something about the workings of God. It's very important that we assemble ourselves together. The people were assembled. Secondly, there was a power that was accessible. He said in simply in verse number 8, He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And He shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Brother Lee was teaching 2 Wednesday nights ago, and he said he was raised in a church where the Holy Ghost had freedom, where there was an atmosphere of the Spirit of God. Honey, I come to tell you today, the Holy Ghost is our friend, and we need Him. And without the Spirit of God in our services, it'll just be another dry old building. But I'm glad we got a God that moves amongst us and helps us in this day and in this hour. So this witness in the beginning, the people were assembled. There was a power that was accessible. Can I tell you that power is real this morning? The day I got saved, I was doing a lot of things I'm ashamed of this morning. But there was a power that came in my life that I was starting to get victory that I've never had victory before. There are battles come in my life. Last week I preached on the giants of life. You know, that giant, he's wanting your king. He's wanting your kingdom and he's wanting your kids. And there's some battles that we face that it seems like we just cannot get victory over these battles. But let me tell you, it's one positive note. Thank God I'm on the battlefield. Am I perfect? No. But I'm on the winning side. Thank God Jesus is coming and heaven will fix it all that day. Until then, there are battles, but I'm going to tell you, there is a power that is available. The Spirit of God will lead and guide you. The Spirit of God will give you power in your life to live right and make the right kind of decisions. But friend, I'm going to tell you our problem. Our problem is not the Spirit of God. Our problem is yielding to the Spirit of God. And so if He lives in us, there's a power that is so accessible. You that are lost without Christ, there's a power that can save you this morning if you trust Christ. There's a power will come and live in your life, make you a new creature, help you in your battles of life. So here, from a gaze to a blaze, there was a witness that was beginning. We find God's people assembled. We find God's power was accessible. But then you'll notice in verse number 10 that I've read, God's person was admirable. They loved Him so, and when He was caught up, some couldn't believe their eyes, and no doubt some were saddened in their heart with, what do we do now? Our leader is gone. But let me tell you, He's not gone. He's just moved. And now the Holy Spirit has set up residence in our life. When your loved ones die, they're not gone. They've just moved on. And there will be another day when we will be reunited if we know Christ. And so therefore, we find this early church going from a gaze to a blaze. They had a witness that was beginning. I think our witness is very important. You know, we have a church sign on the highway, but there's a lot of church signs on the highways. Can I tell you, proof is in the pudding. When you come in here, does it look like a concert? Is it a stage show going on? Is there lights and drama and things flashing of entertainment? No, it's not. We have a witness in the old time ways. We preach the old time Bible. We love the old time way. And we preach the old time truth. And honey, let me tell you, I ain't a backing up off the witness of the Word of God. For the Word of God's still right this morning, in this day and in this hour. So this early church, the Bible says that they had a witness that was beginning. He said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." We ought to be letting our light shine, church, all around us. When visiting families come in this church, you ought to get up out of that pew and you ought to go see them. When people walk in that door, I don't care if they don't look like you. I don't care if their skin color don't look like you. Jesus died for every one of them this morning. And the Bible's still right. And the Bible tells us to love them, to preach to them, and be right about it in our spirit, and exalt our Savior. And I tell you, I come to tell you today, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I get to go to an old-time church down in a little old town in Bowden, Georgia. Bowden, Georgia is not a very big place, but honey, when God moves in, oh, He makes it even smaller. I'm glad there's a God this morning that loves us and sees about us. So He says, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" So secondly, this church not only had a witness that was beginning, but you'll notice they had a wind that was blowing in Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And I love this Bible word, Brother Jerry. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were set. I love it when the Lord visits us from heaven, and everybody in the building knows that He's here. You know, God is so unique in the way He does things. You'll never have one service just alike. That's why you can't miss a service and say, "Send me a tape," because it don't do the job. Can I tell you, there's nothing like being there when God moves. And so they had a wind that was blowing. Oh, my goodness. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. Oh, we need the wind blowing in this day and this hour. Mom and daddies, if the Spirit of God's not moving in your children's life, they can never be saved. If the Spirit of God's not moving in your life, you could have never been saved. The Spirit of God must awake you of your deadness. The Spirit of God must convict you of your sin. The Spirit of God must convince you that you are a sinner. And then it is your responsibility to respond to God by faith. And I'm telling you this morning, we need the wind blowing. Now, let's look what happens, and this is what I want to read this morning. Look in Acts 2 and 15. This is really all I want to preach from today. Just a couple of verses. The Spirit of God fell on the day of Pentecost. Before then, the Spirit of God did not indwell men. He came upon men. That's why in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came upon men, He empowered those men. You'll see where God withdrew His Spirit on that Old Testament. But here in the New Testament, He sends the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes and He lives in us. It shook them up. It came as a wind. It came as a blaze of fire. They felt something going on in them that had never happened. And here in verse 15, He said, "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." I love it when a good Holy Ghost meeting breaks out and folks go to running, shouting, and crying. Amen. As a matter of fact, some of y'all need to cry again. Let your head leak. It wouldn't swell near as bad on you. Amen. Whoa, I love going to church. So the Spirit of God was moving, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Now stay with me. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What? Well, they shall quote Bible verses. They shall say things even from the little ones that God has given them that lines up with the Scripture. And then look what it says. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You'll notice here the young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Talking about going from a gaze to a blaze. The young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. Can I ask you today, us older men, why have we quit dreaming? We must keep dreaming for a generation that's coming on before us. Thank God, just because you've got old, you can still dream big. Sometimes I lay down in my bed and I dream a dream, and oh my goodness, I'm glad that God can allow dreams to come true. Matter of fact, many of you are sitting in a place of a dream that's come true out of my heart. Many of you have got in on a dream that God gave us. And the reason your families are suffering in such a way, you quit dreaming. You say, well, preacher, I done got too old to do anything. You've not got too old to dream big. And then you young men shall see visions. You young men could do something about the dreams of the older men. You young men have the vitality and the life. You're young. You have a zeal. You have an effort. You have an energy. And oh, give us the church that the old men will dream dreams and the young men will get in on the vision and let our dreams come to pass. Preacher, what are you dreaming for? I'm dreaming that there'll be a generation come along that'll know how to have church. That young lady, Miss Sherry's been so good to work with so many young ladies. A young girl got up the other week and played. We have several. And I got to thinking, out riding that tractor the other week, I got to thinking, thank God there's somebody, Brother Lee, that's coming up that'll know how to play old church hymns in the house of God. One of my dreams that I could see families gathered around an altar, hand in hand, praying and trusting God to help them through their crises. And this is what I see pastoring in this generation and in this culture. The only time you want to come pray is when you're in a crisis. Won't you pray and thank God you're not in a crisis? One of the greatest dreams I have is see my grandbabies get saved by the grace of God. One of my greatest dreams I have, Brother Randall, is to see y'all's grandbabies and children saved by the grace of God. Brother Josh, won't you come play this morning?